Thank you for listening to a Midland Free Methodist podcast. We continue our series, Being New, with this week's message, Taking a Gossip Fast. Here's Pastor Scott and Pastor Eric.
Just the mention of your son's name, give us strength. Just using the breath that you put in us to mention the name that saves us. There's no greater word we can speak. May your word, Father, rest on us in heavy ways today. In this place today, may you do a work in each of our hearts in making us new and in continuing to transform us to be who you have created us to be. Would you help us to lean in and receive your truth? Would you help us to remain in your anointing? Would you equip us uniquely so that we can worship and honor you even in the way we listen for the truth of your word that you have for us today? Let us not be distracted. Let us not miss this truth. Where else can we go? Who else has words of life? We come into your presence and at your feet, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that the Holy Spirit would guide us, that you, Father, would continue to make us new. In your powerful and beautiful and loving name, we pray with full confidence that you will do this and so much more. In your name we pray. Amen.
In Ephesians 4:15, the Apostle Paul writes, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." This verse has been swimming around in my head ever since we started this series, Being New. Can you imagine what would happen if an entire church body said, "We want to grow in every way to be more like Christ"? And when they said it, they meant it. And because they meant it, it completely changed the way that they lived life. Because their desire was to be more like Christ, they trusted God to do what only God can do. And as they trusted, they watched God provide in incredible ways. They watched in amazement as God chiseled away their selfishness, and he replaced it with a desire to serve other people. They watched God change their view of church from the place that I go when I have time, or when I need something, or when I feel like I'm at the top of my game, into a beautiful opportunity to worship alongside brothers and sisters on the same journey, brothers and sisters who endure the very same struggles, but they do so with their eyes fixed on Jesus. They watched as God took their anger and their bitterness, their need to always have their own way, and replace it with compassion and forgiveness. They watched God change their view of finances from something I keep as much of for myself because I worked hard and I earned it, into how might this be used for God's glory. They watched God remove their impatience and their frustration with their spouse and their children and replace it with a passion to pray for God's anointing on each person in their family. They watched God change their judgmental attitudes towards their coworkers. They began to see those who were in authority as sons and daughters of the King, just like them. They watched God do a miraculous work with their tongues. They began to listen before speaking. They realize that wisdom comes not from the quantity of words that are spoken, but the quality of a few God-inspired words. They understood that their lips held the power of life and death. They drew their encouragement first from God, and then they watched as he filled their hearts with a desire to encourage others. They watched God replace their once complaint-filled hearts with gratefulness for another day of life. Every morning, they praised God for the promise of his presence and the chance to grow closer to him. Friends, I get so excited about thinking what God could do through this church, through us, as believers for his glory, if we would just humble ourselves and say, God, we want to be more like you. I believe with all of my heart that God has more than enough power to accomplish every single one of those things that I just mentioned, if we get serious about growing closer to him. Can you imagine selfishness being gone? Anger and bitterness gone, complaining gone, greed gone, judgmental attitudes gone, impatience, frustration gone. The question isn't, can God do it? The question is, will we let him do it? Will we trust God enough to make us new?
We want this to be made new so that we can be a church and a people that experience these things. This series isn't about an ideal that someday God will accomplish. This is what God can do in us right now. We can find freedom right now. This is just transformation is something that isn't about us deciding to work harder. We can't make this transformation just by our will or by human tenacity. This is something that God does in us. The way he does this is amazing because he changes the way we think. Look at how God transforms us in Romans chapter 12. I'm going to read verse 2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you. And how does he do it? By changing the way you think. Then you will learn how God's will is good, pleasing, and perfect will. Our thoughts are the seeds of our words and actions. And when God changes them, we begin to be people who can be just like Pastor Scott described, people who speak truth in love, people who are kind because God sources their kindness, people who can give godly encouragement to one another. We can be changed when we allow God to transform the way we think. But God doesn't force this change upon us. We participate with him in this divine nature that he will change us. That says, let God change you by the way you think. In this series, we have looked at what being new affords us. We have looked at speaking truth, how we can be kind because of God's kindness to us, how God is the source of encouragement. We've looked at what we receive in being new. Today, we're going to look at what we lose in being new. Sometimes being connected to the core of Christ means you pick up things and put them on, and other times when you're connected to the core, you need to put them off and set them down. And today, we are going to set down gossip. And when we talk about gossip, maybe for the first moment when you hear the word, you think that, oh, I know so-and-so really needs to hear this message because they gossip a lot. But receive this for you. This is for every single one of us, because all of us are in a world where we receive gossip throughout the week. Gossip infects us, and it finds its way into our thoughts, and those thoughts fill our conversations. Gossip is not limited to words of shock and scandal. These shocking words are, at first, they seem kind of fun to us, and scandalous words can almost taste good to us. We're intrigued when somebody says, oh, did you hear that she? And you want to know. We have this hunger, this taste for this, don't we? This moment when we are drawn in. Proverbs 18 describes gossip this way. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. Do you really want that junk in your belly? that can be the shocking whispered thing that we first imagined, but gossip can also be something that creeps deceptively into our conversations. This happens when gossip is presented to us as entertainment. And it comes to us like it's this harmless entertainment, but it infects our thoughts and it will pour out into the content of our conversations. We cannot be made new when we're being made comfortable with gossip as entertainment. God wants us to be transformed. He wants us to be changed and to be new. And we must see gossip as something that is dangerous, and God views it as harmful. Think of the entertainment that we receive. There's gossip, celebrity gossip. There's gossip magazines, and there's whole TV shows based on gossip. There's gossip websites. And our news is a form of gossip. It is, just consider this, our news is edited parts of other people's story told in a way that catches us and holds us and intrigues us. We're drawn in, and this gossip is entertainment is even, it promises that tomorrow night's episode is going to be even tastier. Next week is going to be even more shocking and scandalous. And the next publication of the gossip magazine is going to be more. And we cannot receive it as harmless entertainment. Being comfortable with what God has said is harmful to us while we're being changed and made new. What we put into our hearts finds its way out of our mouths. Scripture tells us to think on things that are true, noble, right, pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Do you know the scripture? Philippians 4:8. Whatever is excellent, think on these things. When our thoughts are filled with gossip as entertainment, we're not focusing our thoughts on things that are pure and noble and admirable. We're consuming something that God says is harmful to us. In Matthew 12, Jesus told the religious leaders of the day, he said, Matthew 12:34 and 37, whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Jesus said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. People who could be speaking truth in love, the people being made new who could be speaking godly kindness, the people of God who are hurt and broken and we struggle with things, but God has allowed us to be used by him to speak godly encouragement to one another. Instead of speaking those words of life, we find our conversations filled with idle, pointless words of gossip. God views gossip as a harmful sin. And God has provided guardrails for our protection. And inside these guardrails, he has provided where we will know his good and pleasing and perfect will. When we consume gossip and when we come into this place where we think it's this harmless piece of entertainment, we are stepping over the guardrails and walking into a minefield of thought that ends up being spoken in our conversations. Paul writes to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read 28 through 32, Romans chapter 1. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, people whose thoughts have not been made new, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, God abandoned them. He left them alone. God didn't forcibly change the way they think. Think about when we did the series on the core issues of faith and how sometimes we hold our personal opinions higher than the core issues of faith. Think about where we put our thoughts and convictions, where it's out of alignment with our thoughts being set on those things that are core, things that are lovely and just and excellent. People whose thoughts have not been transformed, God left them alone in their own foolish human thinking. And Scripture says, and let them do things that should never be done. And what can we expect as a result of this? Verse 29 says, their lives, those whose thinking has not been made new, their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, look at this list, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Gossip on this list with murder and hate. This isn't a list of what is the greatest of these evils. It's a list of all of this is harmful to God's people. Paul goes on and he says in verse 30, those who have not been made new, those who are left in their own thinking, their lives become full of every kind of wickedness. They are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They whose thoughts have not been transformed invent new ways of sinning. They disobey their parents. Verse 31, they refuse to understand. Though they've had opportunity, they refuse to understand. They don't keep promises. They're heartless. They have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die. The wages of sin are death, yet they do them anyway. And worse yet, they encourage others to do them as well. And all of these evil things on the list, they are murder and hatred and greed, and we think those are such powerful evil things, and we have been deceptively drawn into gossip is just harmless chatter and entertainment. And gossip is on that list of what harms the believers who want to be made new. This one, out of all of them, I think more than any other, is one where we encourage each other to join in. When we gossip, we want others to pile on, to join with, to be shocked with us. We want that excitement of telling what someone else doesn't know, that feeling of being in the know. And we encourage one another to participate in what God has said is harmful. Paul has described all sorts of sinful behavior, and tucked away in this string of evil works is gossip. All sins are damaged to us. We must not be deceived into thinking that gossip is just harmless chatter.
It's also not enough for us to just agree that gossip is wrong and that we shouldn't have anything to do with it. If we are serious about growing in every way to be more like Christ, we have to ask for forgiveness. We have to ask for cleansing from gossip, because all of us have done it, haven't we? This morning isn't about receiving guilt. It's not about pointing the finger at the person sitting next to us, but it's about understanding how destructive gossip is, so that we can, just like Pastor Eric said, receive God's guardrails of protection from gossip. One of the most damaging consequences of gossip is that it hinders our ability to worship God. Scripture declares, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Worship the Lord in all of his holy splendor. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Let us go to the sanctuary of the Lord. Let us worship at the footstool of his throne. O Lord our God, you alone are the one that we worship. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts, and those who refuse to gossip or to harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. If refusing to gossip enables us to worship God, enables us to come into his presence, then choosing to gossip does the exact opposite. It hinders us, it prevents us from entering God's presence and being able to worship him, which is extremely sad, because we were created to do both of those things. We were created to be in fellowship with God. We were created to worship him, and we were created to enjoy his presence. Gossip also breaks relationships. The book of Proverbs says that a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the very best of friends. We're not talking about the kind of friendship when your daughter comes home from school and says that her and Jennifer aren't best friends anymore because Jennifer was playing with Susie on the playground more than her, and so they're just not best friends anymore. We're not talking about that. We're talking about friendships that are broken because gossip has severed the trust that's required to maintain them. Listen to this. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. How many marriages suffer because trust has been broken? Because a wife is afraid of what her husband says about her when she's not around. Because a husband wonders what his wife talks about when she's out with her friends. Men of God, do you cherish your wife in a way that when you speak about her, she knows that you love her. When you're at work, when you're in some other place. Women of God, does your husband know that he's loved and that he's respected when you have conversation with your friends? Our relationships are way too important to allow gossip to destroy them. What else does gossip do? Scripture says, as surely as the north wind brings rain, so a gossiping tongue brings anger. Gossip also stirs up conflict. A few chapters earlier, we read that fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. I was never a Boy Scout, but I know enough about fire to understand that when you take the source, the fuel away, the fire goes out. It's amazing how quickly an argument would be put to rest if we would remove its source of fuel. And yet we continue to fuel our arguments with gossip. Gossip thrives on secrecy. How often do we speak in private about matters that we would never, ever speak about in public? The Apostle Paul reminds us, don't make judgments about anyone ahead of time before the Lord returns. For God will bring our darkest secrets to light, and he will reveal our private motives. If we feel the need to whisper because we don't want others to hear what we're saying, there's a good chance that we probably shouldn't be involved in that conversation. Gossip masquerades as false concern for others. Gossip masquerades as false concern for other people. Man, did you hear what happened to him? He could really use our prayer. I can't believe she's getting divorced. That just, it really breaks my heart. This masquerading as false concern is one of the biggest ways the enemy uses gossip to cause damage. Labeling something a matter of prayer or great concern just so that we can justify spreading information. Prayer is powerful and it should never, ever be used as an excuse to gossip. If we receive news about something else, news that maybe startles us or shocks us, information that no one knows about yet, we first take it to God in prayer before we get on the phone or we email and we talk to somebody. Did you hear what happened? So often the temptation is to share news with someone else, but what is our motive in doing that? Is it to unite in prayer right then, or is it to leak information? It is wrong to mask our gossip as caring for others if our intention is nothing more than to feel that surge of power that runs through us as we release the news that we've been given. Scripture says that God cannot be mocked. I love that verse. He cannot be mocked. He is not fooled by anything. He's not fooled by our gossip, no matter how we dress it up. There are many more damaging consequences to gossip. Gossip distorts reality. Gossip exaggerates. It's not a reliable source of truth. Gossip always contributes to the problem, never to the solution. As followers of Christ, it's our job to point other people to the hope that we have found in Jesus, to show by our words and our actions that Jesus is the answer. And when we participate in gossip, it does nothing, nothing to point people to Christ. Gossip numbs and it desensitizes us and it robs other people of telling their own story. The more that we engage in gossip, the less aware that we are even doing it. When we are made new in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. But the more and more we do things like gossip, the sensitivity that we have from the Holy Spirit leaves.
So if we look at this idea of gossip, track with us that this is not some social construct of how we changed our talking. This is a spiritual transformation of people being made new in Christ. This is what God does when he makes us new, and it's a freedom we can have today. This is a freedom that we can experience in him today. Gossip is not just a shocking, scandalous story, and it's not just a lie or a secret that is whispered. For believers who are being made new, we want to consider this description of gossip. Gossip is any time I'm telling someone else's story with no intention of loving them. Any time I tell someone else's story with no intention of loving them. So what we are calling the church to, what Pastor Scott and I are doing, and what we're calling all of us together to do, is to take a gossip fast. And this does not mean that you gossip as quickly as you can. A gossip fast is a time when we put down gossip, where we set it down. And when we do a fast, we don't do it to impress God. We don't do it to impress other people. We do it so that we each become more sensitive to God providing everything we need, including our words. We each become more aware of his perfect provision and how to handle information. And this is the only way that we find freedom from this. We cannot make a human rule and say, gossip is bad, so my human rule is, I will not gossip. Because a human rule will not source in us love for someone else. A human rule will not supply us with the love that we need to love our neighbor. A human rule is empty, but our God is strong and sufficient and enough. We need God to lead us in how to love one another. This human rule will restrict our opportunity to love God. This fast that we do, we'll do together. And as we do this fast, we will ask God to help us set down gossip. Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was. In Matthew 22, he replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind." And then he said, "The second one is equal," or like it. "The second one is equal." Do you know this one? "Love your neighbor as yourself." If our intent in telling someone else's story is to love them, God can do an amazing work through us. But our intent has to be sourced in love. We also cannot make a human rule that if whenever I hear gossip, if it's not firsthand, I ignore it. If it's not firsthand, I ignore it. This seems like an honorable rule. And sometimes we even add to this rule and say they might be offended and we have no idea what would happen if we followed through. But this rule is a prideful deception. And it takes us out of position to be used by God to love our neighbor as ourselves. Just consider a situation where we hear secondhand of a family who needs food. If we are bound by a human rule that if I don't hear it firsthand, I ignore it, we take ourselves out of God using us or leading us in ways that we could love others. But if we are people who are being made new and we believe that God is trustworthy and that our God can handle telling us how to deal with information, we could ask him how we could respond. And what if God led us to take a sister and go to Kroger and buy groceries and secretly leave the groceries on that family's step? What if God allowed us to be used to love our neighbor as ourselves and they would never know that you did this? That you is between you and God and it was your obedience and how God led you to handle the information. What if we took what could be whispered secretly about this gossip of a family and we shout it loudly that we secretly give in a way that shows that God loves them? God can transform us if we will trust him. This is the big question for us. Not all of you will participate in a gossip fast. We would like all of you to, but I know you won't. But those who will, we are stepping to a place where we are saying, I believe that I can trust my God to lead me in how to handle information. I don't need to have a human rule. I need to be ruled by God. I don't need to be sure that I'm following my protocols for I'm just zero gossip. I'm going to let God lead me when I receive any information. God, how do you want me to respond? And sometimes he's going to want you to be quiet. Sometimes you say, that's not for you. And you put that away. Other times he's going to put a burden on your heart to pray for someone. Pray. And don't leave that prayer until he has lifted that burden from you. And other times he will lead you in a step of action and obedience that you would never have come up with because you're not looking for your own ideas. You're not resting on human understanding and thinking, but you are being made new and you trust that our God can even supply our words and our actions. Let's stand together. A gossip fast is not about rules to follow. It's about trusting the God that we follow. A gossip fast is something we can participate in, and every time you're about to speak, we ask the Holy Spirit to bring the second command to us. It says, and what I'm about to say is my intent to love my neighbor as myself. Because I'm sharing this news, is it because my intention is to love my neighbor as myself?
It's really about our motive in this situation. There are so many things that are presented to us. I mean, we presented this morning, there's a need to buy a bunch of diapers. And I gave you the information that there are babies who wear the same diaper all day. There are babies who don't wear diapers. And we could go around and we could go home and at the lunch table we could talk about, you know, how, wow, I can't believe that. And can you believe that stuff really happens? We could talk about it, or we could actually pray about it. We could first go to God and say, God, would you help them? And then we could ask, what's my role in that? How do you want to use me in that? And before we share that information with anyone else, we make sure that we've heard from the Holy Spirit that it's right to share that news, that we have answered what we have been called to answer.
For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. For this light within you, produces what is good and right and true. Church, our gossip fast begins now. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. Father, bless us as we give to you our thoughts. Renew them and make us new. And may our words and our thoughts be pleasing to you. Transform us and make us new, that we would be people that speak truth and life-giving words. Change us even now, Father. In your beautiful name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to talk or pray, we'd love to talk or pray with you. God bless you.